As we end our time of prayer, I would like to bring your attention to the prayer quilts. We have five this morning. As you leave the sanctuary, stop and tie a knot, say a prayer, sign their cards so they know that we have wrapped them up in the warmth of these quilts and in our prayers. Will you pray with me? Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with your spirit so that in the frenzy of our holiday trappings, we are overpowered by your love, your grace, and your vision for a broken world, and not the fussy requirements we've put on Christmas. Renew us with your spirit so that our energy is bolstered to love others, to serve those in need, and to lift up the downtrodden. Remind us each day to focus on you and how you want us to respond. Remind us that coming to you in prayer is the beginning, not the end of the conversation. We ask you to spread your healing grace to those in our midst and in our hearts who are suffering. Touch their lives so they are wrapped up in your love and feel changed by your presence. For those struggling through grief or loneliness, show us where and when to step up and be Christ for them. And now in the silence of our hearts and in this moment, hear the prayers on our minds. We lift them up to you now. As we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Christ child, we ask you to melt the hardness in us that separates us from each other and from you. As we repeat the words Christ taught us, breathe new life into these old words that still carry your message. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
During that celebration of Jesus' birth, and so the composer, the writer of the song, talks to the palms and asks them to reach down that their shadow might protect this newborn king. It asks the palms to lift up their branches and sway in quiet praise to God. And this is the ideal picture that we have there in Bethlehem, one of peace and one of hope. In this Advent season, we've been talking about that hope, but in a little different way. Based on the study sent, which we have about 100 people involved in this book study, we've been talking about what Jesus brings for hope. And so a few weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus brings reconciliation. Then we talked about how Jesus sets us free. Last week, Bob brought us a message that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us in the pain. God with us in uncertainty. God with us in the waiting in our lives. And God with us in the joy. If you've missed any of those messages, those preparation times for Advent, I invite you to listen to them. You'll find them on a podcast on our website. Today we do our final and fourth examination from the book Sent, and that is that God, through Jesus Christ, brings life anew. And so in celebration of that, we're going to look at how things are new at Christmas. Now, I have to admit there are a couple reasons we might be hesitant about that. The first one is that we don't often think of new beginnings at Christmas. We might reserve that for New Year's Day. And when we think about the symbol of new beginnings, we think about more Easter, the bulbs bursting out of the soil and the spring flowers, the leaves coming into bud, the Easter egg and the bunny and the chick and butterflies, you know, all of those symbols of newness. And we say at Christmas time, we're looking at bare trees. And it's as if in the Arctic cold, the earth is hunkering down. How could this be a time of newness? And in addition, we resist new beginnings because there are some things we just expect at Christmas. Whether your traditions are 30 years old or 2 years old, we have our traditions. Many of us have certain ornaments that must go on the tree. Right? I helped at Thanksgiving. My mother put up her Christmas decorations, and mostly I didn't even have to ask where they went because they've gone to the same place for the last 30 years, so I just put it up there. And for some of those items that were threadbare, I didn't mention, as I have made the mistake of in the past, saying, why don't you just get a new one of these wreaths, a new one of these decorations? And I was reminded of the story and the tradition that went with that item. So you may have those practices in your family or your extended family. And so the idea of all things being made new, bringing in new beginnings, you're like, no, no, no. Wait a few days till after Christmas, and then we'll try some new things. And for those of you who are experimental cooks, you know the disaster that can come when you try new things at Christmas. And so you know the tried and true, whatever those things are for you, the Christmas Eve foods, the Christmas morning foods, those are the things that you'll stick with. Why would we try anything new? And yet, the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh as an infant in Bethlehem is the beginning of profound changes, not only for the people then, but for the world and for us as we come to know Jesus Christ. Doesn't it make sense that when we remember that, when we remember the angels singing that they to the shepherds and saying, we bring good tidings of great news. If it was not a news that would be life-changing, why would they bring it? And so that great news comes to change life. The prophet Isaiah talked about the one who would come to save God's people, and this is the way Isaiah said it: behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. All things will be made new. When Christ comes into this world and into our lives, things are new. We are given a new identity, a new name. Now, in this Christmas season, we are reminded of names that we have. For some, we will be reminded pretty powerfully that we are sons and daughters. We are in-laws. We are moms and dads. We are children, and we are sisters and brothers. We hear, for those of you who have grandchildren, we hear the different names. We have grandmas and grandpas in here, and we have nanas and papas, right? And all of those names that come, we're reminded of those names, but what the coming of Jesus Christ reminds us is this new identity we have central is that we are beloved, and nothing can shake that. Whether we are alone or with others this season, we are beloved of God. Whether we are in uncomfortable places or in places of great joy and comfort, we are beloved of God. Whether we are in the best of health or aching or anticipating decline, we are the beloved of God. Jesus' coming brings that identity. Jesus also brings this understanding of resurrection, that we rise up. Now, I know in these colder days, it's hard to think about rising up and getting out of a warm bed. It's hard to think about that we might have new beginnings. And we may concede, oh, yeah, someday, yeah, we're heaven bound, and that is resurrection. But what we understand is that by the power of Jesus Christ, resurrection happens now. And every day, every moment, we have the opportunity to new life. We are also a people who are restored. I learned a little bit about restoration this week. This last Monday, you'll remember the place was snow-covered, and I ventured out at 8 o'clock in the morning on that Monday morning, and most of the subdivision was plowed, but in a place where it was only slightly plowed, I hit something big. I figured it was an ice chunk, but it was a pretty hefty one because the car leaped in the air. Little did I know that after hitting what turned out to be a very large rock that had been kicked up, I was giving out a magnificent arterial transmission fluid bleed. So I dropped transmission fluid from Mount Brighton subdivision up Main, across 3rd Street, and by the railroad tracks over here, I was going, So came in and had the car towed, thank you, Corrigan's, to A-plus transmission. But anyway, so I said, that transmission, it's been giving me problems. I have no idea what's wrong. So they called me up and they said, there's a hole in the casing. And all your transmission fluid fell out. And so here's the restoration, as there will be a new transmission in it tomorrow. But I thought about this in terms of life. You know, the car, if you looked at it, it looks perfectly good. But according to my insurance agency, I've been in an accident, right? And it's me against a rock. And I think to myself, sometimes the restoration we need is because there's this place in us that has been drained that no one else can see, but because it isn't there, we're just kind of just making our way slowly. I believe that Jesus coming is the thing that gives us that newness of life, that restores our relationship not only with others and with this world, but restores our relationship with God and strengthens it. That is the purpose of this holiday time. I know that sometimes we look at this time of Advent as a season of endurance. It's like the holiday marathon. Right from one cheese ball to the next, you know. How much eggnog can you drink? So you've had the subdivision or association party, and you've had the work party, and you've had the school parties, and the gatherings for family, and there's still more to go. And you're trying to get the gifts wrapped and the decorations all set, and the house cleaned, and the car packed, and all the time keeping your eye on the weather. Right. It's all of these things, and it's a race, and you're waiting for the day. Now, for some of you, that day might be today, or maybe you've already gotten to that day with the family party, or perhaps it is the 24th or the 25th. For me, the 26th. But you're waiting for that day when you can just stop. You could just stop. Here's the crazy thing. What Advent tells us, what the coming of Jesus Christ tells us is, we're just getting ready for the race. But this is not we're not going toward an end. We are going toward a beginning. That we are moving toward preparing our hearts and our minds and our families toward a new time in life when Christ is alive in the flesh and present with us, God with us. It is new beginnings. It is a new start. Now, I have this powerful image I want to share with you that's biblical, although you may be saying, what in the world is Alex reading? This is Christmas, after all. But give Alex a break because I asked him to do this, and so he's bringing you the scripture.
The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophecy to those bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the words of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Alex. Okay, now I know what you're saying. What? I mean, Luke 2, you know, maybe. Matthew 2, that's where we should be, not here. But just bear with me. Here's the context. 500 years before Jesus was born, there was a terrible time for the people of Israel. They were in exile. They were far away. There was a prophet named Ezekiel who was sent into exile with them. And to give the people hope, he kept sharing these visions that he had from God. And this is one of the visions. He was taken to a valley of scattered bones. And they represented the scattered and the dead and lifeless people of Israel, a people that had no power, a people who needed the promise of new life. And God asked Ezekiel, do you think, mortal, do you think that these dry bones can live? Because what Ezekiel saw was a valley of hopelessness, but what God saw was a valley of opportunity. And so we have this amazing picture of God asking Ezekiel to command the bones to rise and sinew attached and flesh attached and this whole army of Israel people rose up. And there was new life as God brought the winds through Ezekiel and the breath of God filled them. Consider what was happening during the time of Jesus' birth. There may not have been literally any kind of valley of bones. There may not have been someone who had that vision, but they had it in their history, and this is what they knew. They lived in a time of great poverty and subsistence living. They lived in a place where the Roman government oppressed the people and soldiers were in occupying the area. They lived in a time where religious leaders decided who was in and who was out, who could worship, and who was literally too poor to worship. They lived in a time where there was struggle. Consider how horrible it might have been. And how many people perhaps in their prayers asked again and again of God, can these dry bones rise up? Can they live? For Mary and Joseph, what would become of them with this scandalous birth? Would the dry bones live? For the shepherds who were in a lowly occupation, living in poverty, what was their hope for the future? Would these dry bones live? And even for those kings, those magi, who a great distance away, for some reason, were looking to the skies for something greater than themselves. Can these dry bones live? And I would suspect that for each of us, we can find in our own lives places where we can say, can these dry bones live? Can this area of my life where I am exhausted rise up? Can this place of relationship and neglect find new flesh and new breath? And can't we turn to this world and look within our local area and our county, our state, our nation, and the world and say, there are places, Lord, Lord, that are scattered with dry bones. What can you do? Can these dry bones live? God, can you breathe into them? And God says, yes, I am sending you the Savior of the world. The next anthem that the choir is going to sing is Mary, Do You Know? And Mary, did you know? And it's this song of questions. It's a song asking, Mary, do you know what hope and new life your son will bring? But if you listen carefully at the beginning and the end, you will also hear an ancient song. From the second and third centuries, let all mortal flesh keep silence. It is a song of awe that was sung at the beginning of communion, a chant to begin communion to remind people that when we're talking about God in the flesh, this new beginning, this baby, we come in awe and wonder. So we may say to ourselves, all right, so he cured the lame and he brought sight to the blind. The king, the prince of all things. But perhaps in this moment, as we head toward Christmas, we might be asking ourselves, so what? What does it mean for us now where the rubber hits the road? Well, I want to point out that in this story of resurrection from Ezekiel 37, God asks Ezekiel's help. Prophesy to the bones that they might rise again. Prophesy to the winds that my breath might fill these people and they might live. It seems that God offers us the opportunity to participate in rising up in new life, to say yes, to agree. And I give thanks. I give thanks as I look at my own brokenness and struggles and mistakes that I've made, and I'm just talking in the last 24 hours. I give thanks that God says again and again, by the birth of Jesus Christ, you have a second chance. Rise up, the dry bones will live. And for each of us, we have that opportunity to speak new life into dry bones. For some of us, it might be in our own hearts, our souls, our lives. The place where we need to speak and call out for the presence of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the power of God's breath to give us life. For some of us, it might be speaking into a new place, a new time in relationships around us, into the world. For some of us, it might be raising those dry bones with the help of God in this congregation. I can't imagine the multiple ways the congregation members, you sitting here today, have helped to raise dry bones in this last month. Perhaps you have a place that you serve during the holidays, a charity that you give to that you know will make a difference. I will tell you here, we have given over 80 children who are in foster care, wonderful gifts by your generosity. We have served meals and will continue to, including a family in need during for a funeral this week. We will be offering blood through Red Cross. We have a blood drive here, and we will be giving the gift of life and serving there. I had people race out so that they could become bell ringers for Salvation Army, and members of this church have been ringing bells for Salvation Army, bringing help to this community and communities around the nation. And I have to tell you that this last week, we had the opportunity to distribute 61 special gifts to the residents of Mill Pond Manor here in this community who we have a relationship with. And it was so nice to see those stacks of gifts that you gave. It was so nice to share this wonderful meal prepared by members of the congregation for the residents. But I have to tell you, the most powerful thing, the thing that brought the dry bones to life, is when people came through the door. They were greeted by name, they were greeted warmly, and they were cared for. This is building relationship. This is letting people know that they are worthy. This is raising dry bones. Now, I would suggest that for each of us, as new life is rising by the power of the birth of Jesus Christ, that we have the opportunity to begin anew. And this would be my suggestion, my challenge, an action you might take this week, is to think in your life of a place where there is a valley of dry bones. It may be something in you, an area that needs some life, or it may be something within your circle of influence, in family, for colleagues, for neighbors, a place that you, by small or large action, might indicate that life has come anew. And this is what I would direct you toward. Consider that place where Christ can enter by God's holy breath and bring new life and invite Christ in, empowering you to speak and to act in a way that offers new life, empowering you to have hope, knowing that Christ will do that for us, for Christ lives. I would also suggest writing it down. Good way for accountability, and if you want to go out on a limb, this is crazy talk, tell someone what you're going to do, because it will cement that, and you'll do that. Jesus came that we might have new life and have it abundantly. Those places that are dead and dry and dying, are places where Jesus wants to start our new life now. And that's what this is about. I have to tell you that you may have thought of Advent as some kind of race, you know, and it's like it's the marathon. And if you can just get through the last cheese ball, if you can just get through the last stuff that you have to do for this place, that finally you'll be able to rest. Here's the truth of it. We are in preparation right now for a race that begins with the birth of Christ. And it is a time where we can rise up and run knowing that Christ has given us new life. Now, the choir is going to finish with another anthem. And, you know, it's in English and it's in Latin too, but don't let that trouble you. What I'd like you to listen for is the words of joy, the words of praise, and the tone. And as they're singing, I invite you to open your heart to God and to consider, where are the dry bones and where is God calling you to speak? For those of you who are traveling in the next days, who will be worshiping and celebrating Christmas Eve and Christmas all over the place, God's speed with you and God's blessings in this time of new beginnings. And for those of you who will be returning for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day services, I anticipate once again giving glory to God with you in that time. Go now, trusting that God has done a new and amazing thing in Jesus Christ. Go in joy. Amen.